By way of Psalm 23 this morning. As we look at the book of Romans, the journey that we've been on, we hear from the Apostle Paul how great and wonderful the gospel is, so great that he desperately wants us to hear. And the reason that he wants us to hear is because this world has given us a lie. That lie is that God is not sufficient to meet our needs. And even though within our souls there is a realization that we need God, we have suppressed that thinking and we have chosen to chase after idols that are, in our opinion, better than him. So we've rejected God, we've chosen the lie, and as a result of that, we have delved further and further and further into sin, not only as individuals, but as a world. We think about all the individuals who proclaim, "I know when Jesus is returning," right? And they put up their billboards and they have their countdowns and they have navigated through the revelation and said, "This has got to be the day," and over and over and over and over, we find out that they are wrong and that Jesus is right, that no one will know the time or the season, right? But what we do know that Jesus has told us is that sin and its corruption of both man and the world around us will get worse and worse and worse until the day the Lord Jesus returns for us, before he calls us home. And so we cry out and we say, "Now, today, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Because we're just not sure if we can handle any more. We get into Romans chapter 4, an explanation of our inability to come to salvation ourselves. Because chapter 3, we are all hopeless sinners who have to pay a debt. And then in chapter 5, we hear this great news that salvation isn't by works, but by faith alone. And we are called in chapter 5 to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to place ourselves into his hands. And then we've spent the last few weeks dealing with chapters 6 and chapter 7, which say, "Now listen, now that you have been freed from your sin, don't go back into them, please. And abuse the grace of God that's been given to us." And because the pendulum swings both ways, from an abuse of grace to a return to law and legalism, where we say, "Well, maybe I can be good enough by obeying the law." He says to us, no, that's not going to work either. He finishes this entire argument with a very clear and simple statement. Chapter 8, verse 1. "Now know this, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The reminder that without Jesus, we are lost in our sins forever. But with Jesus, we have nothing to fear. This is why we are so opposed to those individuals who would teach that once you come to Christ, you have to maintain or care for this salvation that you've been granted.
And we realize that that is not what the Bible teaches. We realize that the Bible teaches that once you have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, once His grace has come upon you, you are His, and you are securely His for all of eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Psalms chapter 23. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we endeavor to understand this morning how complete our salvation is, how secure we are in You, may we not only hear the words, but understand that Your salvation is great, powerful, life-changing. Glorifying to You. And may this affect our lives. May this affect the way that we walk in this world that is full of darkness and despair and hurt that seems to be crushing down on us. May we, in the midst of this, see Your light. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. The relationship with a follower of Jesus is a unique one, in which the individual becomes completely reliant upon Jesus for their needs. Before Jesus, I did my own thing. Before Jesus, I went my own way. But after I am in Christ, I become completely and totally dependent upon Him for everything that I need. This isn't a change in reality, because the reality is that every breath that we have was given to us by God anyways, right? But this is a change in my thinking when it comes to who Jesus Christ is. He is everything. Because He is everything, there's nothing else that I need. There's nothing else that is necessary for my satisfaction or my life. He says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So those who enter this relationship find that Jesus satisfies every need. I don't need something else. It's summertime right now. It's been very hot lately. We've been drinking lots of water. Even me, Denise, I'm drinking water. She always gets after me because I have a cup of coffee in my hand, but never a glass of water in my hand. I'm drinking water. Why? Because it's so hot, we feel like our thirst can't be quenched, can't get enough. We find out with Jesus Christ, when we're walking in relationship with Him, that He satisfies our need, that when we're walking with Him, there's nothing else that we need. We don't have to go looking for other things that will make us okay, will make us able to live this life. We don't have to have the individual who is walking in relationship with Christ doesn't need to have the acknowledgement of those individuals who are around them in order for them to feel great. Jesus becomes satisfying. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Those who enter this relationship find rest for their souls. There is rest there. I don't listen to this clearly. When I am walking in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I do not have to do the work anymore. I just have to follow the one who is guiding me. I'm along for the ride. I'm following him. I'm trusting him. I'm going his way. I don't have to make the decisions. He's already told me what I need to do. And so my life becomes about finding out what it is that Jesus has instructed and not trying to find my own way. And my soul rests in him. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As the one and only trustworthy God, he constantly proves through his leading that his ways are good. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus' way is always the good way? Sometimes we read his instruction and we go, no, Jesus, that's not the way people do things. That doesn't sound right. I think I have a better way. Your way sounds like it might hurt a little bit. The scriptures show us that every time we go our own way, it leads into more death. And every time we go Jesus' way, it leads to something good. It leads to restoration. He leads me. Sorry. I think I got totally lost, and you guys probably are too. It says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. This is verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. We realize that those who enter this relationship find rest for their souls. He leads me beside still waters. Those who enter this relationship never thirst again. He restores my soul. Those who enter this relationship find their soul is placed back where it belongs. Sin has separated us from God, Jesus Christ, because of the price that he paid for us on the cross so that we could enter a relationship with him, has taken us and placed us back where we belong. We're not separated anymore. He leads in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As the one and only trustworthy God, he is constantly proving through his leading that his way is good. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's a valley of the shadow of death. Did you know that? Did you know that we're in it? It's right here. It's not something that's coming. It's something that is here. It's something that is reality. Jesus said, I came into the darkness. That's where we're at. Death is continual here in this dwelling place of sin and flesh. The result of sin is always death, and in this world we're living in, death is going on all of the time. But because he is leading us, Jesus is leading us, we're not afraid of the evil.
I will fear no evil.
So we're walking through the shadow of death and Jesus is leading, and we say, hey, that's all good. I can handle this. We have thunderstorms in our house. Elizabeth comes upstairs. She climbs into our bed and she's good. I'm not good because our bed's not big enough. So I go to the couch. And while I'm on the couch, Mudge comes over and he lays next to me and he's good. He's happy. He's safe. Not because I can do anything about the lightning at all, but because there's security next to who he's decided is his master, and Elizabeth finds security in just knowing that she is in her parents' bedroom. It's safer there, even though the basement is safer than the ground floor. Because Jesus is walking beside us, we walk through this place of death and destruction, and we say, Jesus knows how to do this. We're okay with him. Because he is with us, we're confident in what he will do. For you are with me. We're confident that he knows the way, that we're not going to get lost. It's not like that in my family. Tracy said the other night, she said, Dad's taking a shortcut. And Elizabeth said, did you say Dad's taking a shortcut? Which means usually it's going to take longer. But with Jesus, we don't have that. With Jesus, we're not afraid. His way is the right way. It's going to work out. It's going to be fine. He's promised that it's going to be good. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me because he is with us. We can see the skill by which he safely guides us and protects us from the darkness. Jesus is strong enough. We're not strong enough. But Jesus is, and the way that he cares for us is perfect. It is in the presence of the shepherd that we find comfort when surrounded by the darkest of shadows. They comfort me. His rod and his staff, they give me comfort. I say, it's okay. I'm good. I can rest here now. In verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So you set us down to eat in the midst of those who are working against us. We're right here. We are in the midst of a world that is not on our side. Did you know that? I love our country. I think it is wonderful that we live in a place where we can worship together, that we live in a place where there are so far laws that protect us in our ability to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, to share what we believe. But don't get in your mind that our world, that our country is on our side. The majority of this world is not interested in the same things that we are as followers of Christ. We're sitting in the midst of those who are working against us, and we have been anointed with oil. You anoint us as your chosen ones. We have been chosen by God in the same manner, listen, in the same manner as David was chosen to be the king of Israel. In the same manner as Aaron was made to be the high priest. We have been selected by God and placed into a special position in his family and in his kingdom. We are his people. You anoint us as your chosen ones. In this difficult place, we find that because of you, we have more than we could ever need. Our cup overflows. There is so much power provided in us by the Holy Spirit to live the life that God has called us to that we can't even fathom what it would be like to tap into the complete potential of it. Ephesians, the beginning of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us that we've been given the same power in salvation under the Lord Jesus Christ that was used to raise Jesus from the dead. Jesus said if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And we go, he was just using an illustration there. I don't think so. I think that Jesus was telling us exactly how powerful he is, exactly how powerful the Holy Spirit within us is, and the potential we have as believers if we would just trust God to do what he said he's going to do. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Life in relationship with Jesus is a life surrounded by his goodness and his mercy on us. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Departure from this life when in relationship with Jesus is a new beginning separated from the dark shadows of sin. To be with Jesus, to be with Jesus in eternity, to leave this place, not fearful of what's going to happen to us, trusting in Him because we are in Him, we realize that we will never hurt, we will never have sadness, that we will never see conflict, that we will never be included in struggle again, that we will never experience separation from the individuals that we love, that we will, it will never, this perfection that He has given us will never, ever end. That's what it's like to be with Jesus when we leave this place. And so then we look at Romans 1 and we say, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those individuals who have, by grace through faith, become children of God are no longer fearful of the outcome they will face when entering eternity. I'm not afraid. Great missionary, when threatened, his life is threatened because he is preaching the gospel, and he says, you think that I am scared of being threatened with eternity? You're going to send me to the place that I want to go. These individuals have been forgiven. Romans chapter 4, 7 and 8, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. My sins are taken care of. I'm not worried. When I call out to Jesus, I don't go, all right, Jesus, will you please forgive me? Wondering what He's going to say. I already know. I already know that He's forgiven me. They have peace with God. Peace with God has been established in them. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're not warring with Him anymore because of Jesus Christ. Not because of us. We fight with God all the time. We say, I'm not going that way. But Jesus maintains that peace and draws us back into the way we should go. The consequence for unbelief is eternally removed, because we have believed. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, John 3, 18 through 19. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. All those who believe in Jesus, they say, I'm good. I'm good. I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have trusted Him for my salvation. I know where I'm going to spend the rest of eternity. And their permanent residence, nourishment, and growth is firmly established in Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. These individuals who have come to salvation, who have so much confidence that there's no condemnation, they're not followers of Jesus. They're not super fans. Oh, I love Jesus. I have a bumper sticker and a t-shirt and a baseball cap. He is my shortstop and I'm the second baseman. I don't know, these crazy slogans. They're not fans. They're not partakers. They're not people who say, I just need a little bit of what you have, Jesus, so that life will go better for me. They're not students memorizing lengthy portions of Scripture as if that is somehow going to make them better individuals. These people who have confidence that there is no condemnation for them because they are in Christ Jesus, they are physically, spiritually transformed individuals, physically, spiritually transformed into something they never could be apart from Jesus. They are physically and spiritually transformed into a position that they could never have apart from Jesus. They are physically and spiritually transformed into a heritage that they couldn't gain on their own, but could be given by Jesus Christ. Jesus has become their home. Jesus has become their identity. Jesus is their very breath of life. This is the gospel. The gospel is that I am desperately in need. Jesus came and died on the cross, paying the wage, the price for that need, and then rose from the dead, giving me new life. And I cannot have anything separate from him. The light came into the darkness and won so that we would not be afraid. So I ask you this morning, we're going to take communion together. And I ask you this. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of how you are going to spend an eternity? Because if you are afraid of how you will spend eternity, you do not know Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus comes into your life, there is no longer anything to be afraid of, because the condemnation that was yours has been removed for all eternity. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.